You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 24. We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, over you in the Lord, and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in love, for love's for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all. See that none render evil for evil unto any, but even follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Prove or test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and faithful is he that calls you will also do it. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word, this grace for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen. Just for a minute here to acknowledge afresh the privilege that's ours here to come aside from the commonplace, moving into that which is celestial, as the Spirit fulfills his office work in our midst, as he takes the things of Christ and makes them alive. And so we need cleansing, and we recognize that. As you energize us of yourself, as you warm our hearts by your presence, as you rebuke the evil one and honor your great Son. Therefore, this cleansing, we trust, will fit us as a vessel whereby we can give and receive as you minister a promise of your grace today in our life in such a way that your purposes will be accomplished and fulfilled right here and right now. And this grace, Father God, for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray, amen. Sunday before last, we dealt with the fact of sufferings in some mysterious way God uses to accomplish and to fulfill his purpose in bringing us all to the full orb man he desires. Along the way, he calls our attention to where our inheritance truly is, and therefore, as we saw last Sunday, we're to set our affection on those things that are above. Now, the person that's being prepared to that end is you and me, as God does his marvelous work in our life. And so, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, that when that which is complete has come, that the mirror we look into, the Word of God, will no longer be just hazily, because it'll be complete. We have everything to see. And in the reading of our text this morning, Paul prays that this might be accomplished in the whole man, the spirit, the soul, and the body. It's interesting, these different parts that make us up. The spirit is that which in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says God formed man out of the dust of the ground. That's this bit of clay. And then he breathed of his spirit the nostrils of that clay, and man became a living soul. In that soul structure of the heart and the mind, God communicates both to the spirit of man and to the body of man. For instance, in the spirit of man, you have these attributes: love, hope, faith, prayer, and worship. But for them to be activated, the soul is necessary, because it is in the soul that man has his reason, his affections, his consciousness, his imagination, his memory or mind or heart. Likewise, the body communicates in the mind. You have the eye to see with. Did you know you do not see with your eye? Did you know that? Most people don't. They think they see with their eye. They don't. They see with the mind, the brain. They have the ear for hearing. Have the mouth for taste, and they have the nose for smelling, and the ability to touch in order to feel. Those are the five senses. The body is our world consciousness. It makes us conscious of the world around us. The soul makes us self-conscious. We become aware of ourselves. And the spirit makes us God conscious. Notice in the formation of man, that which was natural was first. He formed a man out of the dust of the ground. And then the mighty spirit of God breathed the breath of lives, that not life, but lives, plural, into Adam. And as that moved into that part of that frame where the brain is, the old heart began to pump the blood so that the brain could act and become a computer to take down certain things that we need to learn. But it's that memory, that mind in there, you see there's a connection between the spirit and the body. Makes the whole man. Soul is very important. Soul is not immortal, because the soul that sins, it shall die. It's a lie to say that it is. It has the potential. You see, when Adam was created, the spirit of man came into existence. We learn from Proverbs 20, if you want to write this down, 20:27. The spirit of man, it says, is a candle of the Lord. But actually, the Greek says, the Greek translation from the Septuagint says, it's the candle holder. Because the consciousness of God died with Adam, and it only became a candle holder. It needs to be lighted. And that's what happens when you get saved. See, the life of this flesh that God made, Leviticus, is in the blood. Now, you remember in the garden that Adam had access to the tree of life. He never partook of it. Had he partaken of it, the life of the flesh would have been where? In the spirit. It's the spirit that gives what? Life. The only life he had was physical. He had the potential. That's why it's necessary, you see, beloved, that that candle holder, the spirit of man, be lighted. You and I who have Christ have what? The life of God flowing. It's not what keeping this physical body alive. That's in the blood. One day we're going to drop this robe of flesh, body. But life goes where? Still on. You see, the life is a new creation. That's why we read in Ephesians. For we are his what? Created. This is not the continuation of the old Adam system, but this is a brand new thing. In fact, in Ephesians 2, it's called the new man. See? The new creation. I hope I can get this across to you, because let this take hold of you, because if you can once get the picture of it, you begin to see how that we have reversed the procedures of God, and that's where all our problems are. You see, everybody's concerned about today. What are they concerned about? Your body. That's no big concern, because you're not going to be right there. You're going to be around anyhow. But that's where all your concern is. You got the cart before the horse. You see? You're concerned with your eyes, with your hearing, your tasting, your smell. I know recently I've been having a bad appetite, and I sure miss eating. I still like to eat, though, but nevertheless, you see, we're concerned about those things. And it isn't to be unconcerned, because it does have to manufacture blood to keep us going. But nevertheless, that's a secondary thing. That we're pretty much concerned about. But the soul and the spirit is where our thoughts should be. You remember when Paul was caught up in the third heaven? He wrote about that 14 years after an occasion that happened to him at the city of Lystra. He had been stoned and left out in the streets for dead. His body lay out there overnight. And in that period of time, Paul writes about it 14 years after the event. He said, I knew such a man that was caught up into the third heaven, into paradise. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Of course, after 14 years, writing about it later like that, he was aware of the fact that his body did lie in the street. Yet it was so real to him, the experience he had in heaven, he couldn't actually tell whether he was in a body or out of body. You see? Why? Because the position he was in and at that point in time was not in a physical body. Even though it was in a body. But that body did not function because of what? Did not function because of blood, but how? Of the Spirit. There is a natural body, Ephesians 15, and there is what? A spiritual body. See? Amazing how much light the Scripture gives. You see? Now, the thing that's secondary in our life and is the soul, which has to do with our reasoning, our affections, our imaginations. Without imagination, we'd be in bad shape, wouldn't we? Our consciousness of things. Memory in the heart. The mind in the heart. See, the heart's the old pump that keeps that blood flowing. If it didn't, this brain up here couldn't operate. That's just a computer up there is all that is. It computes what we reason, what our affections are, what our consciousness are, It helps our eyes, our ears, our mouth, our taste, our touch. All that's in the computer, every bit of it. That's in the soul, not in the body. That's the soul aspect. But it takes blood to keep it going now. Hence, Paul prays for your whole spirit. Not just the spirit of man, but the spirit that now quickens you, and which we've been sealed with, Ephesians chapter 1, which is our guarantee. See, not an Oklahoma guarantee either. It's a real guarantee. Spirit, soul, and body. You see, if we do not feed the soul upon the Word of God, the spiritual man, who gets, keep in mind, the contact between the spirit and the soul is what? The mind. We cannot operate by faith except be conscious of it, you see. We have to believe. And therefore, it's important what goes into our minds. You see? Very important. Because as a man thinketh, so he is. Now, when the thinking man, he begins to realize as he looks at the Word of God, how far short he comes of God's purposes. You can't help but see that. God is not allowing us to see that to discourage us, but to make us realize how much we need the spirit aspect of life other than the physical. And yet our constant care is for the physical. You see? We've got our eyes off the donut and onto the hole. And this is why it's so important to understand the three parts that make you up what you are. Because it's only in the realm of the spirit that we can have faith. See, faith and love and hope are all of the spirit. But the kind of material you feed into your faith system, into your hopes and your love, you see, from the memory, from the affection, whatever it is, it determines the degree of your spirituality. As I view my own life, look back over it, 75 years, I really realize what a trophy of grace I am. Because I see in it, you see, so much that we're fed through the mind into the spirit that is foreign. And if it was not for the efficacy of the blood of Christ, not my blood, but his blood, keeps that old brain cleaned out, you see. Otherwise, I'd be in bad shape. This helps you to understand the sufferings. So you go with it. That's part of the cleansing. You ever get a terrific stomach ache and you've got to get rid of some stuff? You got to suffer to get rid of it, you know? Same way, the cleansing process. You see, the life of everything we have in this world, is in the flesh. And that's why we pamper it so much. But to be fleshly minded, to be carnal minded, Romans 8. I don't have to turn these scriptures, I think you're aware of them. Is death. What is that death in our case? Separation. Except for one reason. The blood of Christ keeps on cleansing. If you have the Spirit, and Romans 8 said, if you have not the Spirit, then of course none of this doesn't count. You see, the dastardly condition of the world today and how far afield we are is because all one need look at the advertising. Everything appeals. It's the one thing to the flesh. Everything is fed into the mind. That's what it is. And so the soul, its affections are not turned toward the spiritual world. It's turned toward what? The needs of the body. The affections are not toward things above, but things here. See? But we have the whole Word of God today to let us see these things so that we can begin to obey God, and that's exactly what we're doing when we realize that the mind that He's given us feeds into the spirit world, or it feeds into the natural world of the flesh. The body says, well, I'm too tired, you know. The spirit is willing, but what? The flesh is weak. You see how all these verses, you just think about them through Scripture now. This is a little course in psychiatry and psychology and sociology all rolled into one here. Don't cost anything extra either. But I want you to see this, to see yourself as God sees the picture. What Paul is praying about, the whole man, a spirit, soul, and body. Notice he did not say body, soul, and spirit. He said spirit, soul, and body. Paul writing also in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. The Word of God is living. Your Bible says quick. That's all right. But the Word is living. The Word of God is alive. And the Word of God is quick. The Word of God is living. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow. There's all three parts, you see. And is a discerner. That word discerner is an interesting word. It's a critic. It's a life if you have a listening ear. Notice the Word of God is the critic. It's a discerner. It's a living thing. It's alive, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword if you have the critical spiritual ear to listen. And you hear the small, still voice say, this is the way. Walk in. Why? Because today we are complete in Christ. Our physical body is not necessary to grow in grace. The soul and the spirit are, though. That's why we're going to dump this one day. That's what Paul cried out. Oh, wretched man, who shall deliver me from this? Didn't say from the soul and the spirit, but from what? This body of death. The soma. See, we need to reevaluate our whole philosophical outlook of life. That this life, for the man of God, or the woman of God, is to be concerned about the spirit and the soul. The body is of little worth in the final analysis, although he does pray for it. Because without a healthy body, it's kind of hard to get around sometimes. Necessary. But the emphasis is right on the spirit, the soul, and the body. That's where. And God is able to discern between the three to the man who has his eyes open. So that he can get down to the root of the problem. Not just take care of the symptoms of troubles, but get down to the real heart of the matter. Because it's only in the realm of the Spirit that you have any God consciousness whatsoever. It's in the realm of your soul that you have your self-consciousness. And we're pretty much concerned about self pretty good. It's only in the realm of the body that we have world consciousness, you see. Makes us conscious of the world around us. But the important thing is to set our affection not on the world, the things here, not on self, but upon the author and the finisher of our faith. As Hebrews said, looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. He set before him the joy of the cross, but despising the shame of it. And that's exactly it. Let this mind be in you. I'm calling your attention certain key verses that bear heavy in your life. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. See? Begin to think like he does. That's what we're talking about here. So that the whole man can become operative. Full-orbed is a word we don't use much anymore, but that's a proper word. God wants a full-orbed man. Spirit, soul, and body brought to the fruition he desires. We wonder sometimes why we're not getting through. It's real simple. You know, it's almost unbelievable, but it's a fact. In this world of scientific investigation, the very men who promote such lies as evolution, at the same time, respect, in fact, they not only respect it, but they dare not defy the natural laws of science that this universe is governed by. Any scientist that does ignore those things is going to kill himself in the laboratory. He won't get very far, I'll tell you. He's a dead man. And with all that knowledge, he still ignores the fact of the spiritual and the moral laws of the universe. Isn't that as paradox, isn't it? But is the science any worse than we are? Not a bit. We're always making him look like a fool, but actually the label comes right home, you see. We ignore these things too. They will operate, beloved. If you defy any law of God, whether it's spiritual, moral, or natural, there's a consequence. And that's what it means when it says, as a man sow, so shall he reap. And the older you get, the more you realize that's true. You learn, and then you have to relearn, and then you have to relearn, and you have to relearn, and you have to relearn, until finally you say, well, you can come like Paul one day and say, well, I've come to the place where I'm in a dilemma. I don't know whether I want to stay here, which is for your benefit, or to go and to be turned loose from above, which is far better. See? This, when you can come to that decision in your life and really mean it, you see, reminds me of Dr. Hull, man that meant an awful lot to me. He was just a year older when he made this statement than I am. He was 76, and he said one day to the class, he said, you know, it's a strange thing. You spend your life being prepared to be a teacher. And when you feel like you've arrived, it's time to leave. And it's the truth, you know. I realize that thing. I used to think, well, that's kind of funny, you know. But that's the way it is. He prepares a man all the way. Get to know yourself, the real person. We're always analyzing everybody else, but we don't analyze ourselves. Well, I don't have a great deal of confidence in Greek philosophy, but they had one thing in common that we ought to remember. It says, man, know thyself. They didn't do it, but they saw the key to it, you see. And that's with us. We need to know ourselves in our spirit, our soul, and our body. I'm learning a lot about my body with all of its aches and pains. You see, I'm trying out everything in the world. See what happens, reaction to it. I still haven't discovered the key to it yet. You see? But you know, it's a beautiful thing to realize that regardless of what happens to this hunk of clay, every morning you get up and you just can really relax and say, well, thank you for another day here. You helped me to make it this 24 hours. If I do, that's fine. If I don't, well, I'm better off anyway, see. And you realize this. That's when these little verses that we learn to memorize, we don't ever understand what they mean. We do in a casual way, but they never actually become a part of our personality. All those terrific statements, the issues of life are out of the heart. You see, all these things become real then, because they're not just something intellectually, they're something that's a part of your makeup. That's the full old man, beloved. That's when your affections will be in the right direction. You won't have your eyes too much down here, only just for the matter of getting along, and that's about it. That's why you have to take a lot of naps, so you get along. You realize it. Pick up strength. And so that's the way life is. The sooner you set your course in that direction, the more you will begin to enjoy your salvation. I don't think a lot of Christians enjoy their salvation because it robs them of the pleasures of this world. Of course, that don't happen to me, but it does. You know, but it does happen, you see. To get your eye on the things that are above robs old self, you know. He just can't have his way all the time. It's an awful fix to get in. But it sure is a comforting thing to have, I'll tell you. Then you don't have to worry about what the world thinks, you know, because the one that you have confidence in, you see, the one that you have life in, not depending upon this body at all. This is why I know that, and every child of God needs to know this, not just intellectually, but know it from the heart, that he's far better off. Because we have a house, not made with hands, see, that awaits us. A house, comparatively speaking, an ivory palace and compared to a tent. I can't imagine that. But yes, I can too. But I can too. Why should I be sorry about that, you see? And the only thing it'll make you sorry about is because your affections, you see, are still here. Yes, we have something that the flesh really enjoys, and the soul too. It's going to be on the television this afternoon, a football game, see. You still love it. Now, this does not mean that it's an evil thing for you to do that, unless it gets in the way. God has given us all things freely to enjoy. But don't let them get in the way. If you do, you get your eye on the wrong horse. You see what I mean? You will begin to discover, if you live in the spirit realm, that this is the only realm where real peace exists. The soul life is better than the body life, but it is not the criteria. The intellectual life today lives in the soul and the body. Know nothing about the spirit. See? Only the man has been quickened, made alive by the Spirit of God can know anything about the spirit life. He can't. Not something to be attained in an intellectual field. That's why it is so necessary that you be generated from above. We need this renewing every day of our minds. Calls to our attention the fact of Romans 12. See? To be renewed in the mind by the how? As Ephesians 5, by the washing of the water of the Word. I cannot improve upon what Scripture has said. I can only point these things out to you. But let me say in closing that any faith that you have that's real, any hope that you have that's real, any love that you have that's real, any prayer that you say that's going to mean anything, and any worship that you have toward God is of the Spirit. And by the same token, your affections in this life, your imaginations, your consciousness, your memory are all soulish and self-centered. Unless they're attached to the Spirit. So that the things that please the eye, the physical thing, you see, the things that please the nose, the thing that pleases the mouth, the thing that pleases the touch, all these are going to go set aside to a higher order. If you know yourself and you're got sense enough to add two and two, then you see you can begin to see the course of life that ultimately leads to the peace that passes all understanding. You're intelligent people, I think. Father, thank you for the word. And this fellowship you've called us into, even the fellowship of your Son, to bring us to the fullness of the stature as a mature man. God, in your simple way, would you be pleased to energize the things that we've talked about now, that they may be burned into our heart and our mind and become a part of our personalities. When we worship, we can worship in truth and the Spirit. And when we pray, we'll be cognizant of who we're talking to. And therefore, our faith will be strong. And our hope will be real. And our love will be unfeigned. Thank you, Father, for attending these matters. Because we ask these graces in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.